T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dribbling, driving, out to Gallo. Three-pointer, Gallo, bang! Danilo Gallinari hits the three-pointer. And the Hawks trail by 4, 94-90.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's the voice of the Hawks. Steve Holman on the call last night. You heard it here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll talk some more Hawks. Brad Rowland from Peachtree Hoops and the Locked On Hawks podcast. Brad's going to be with us. We'll get to him in just a second. Don't forget, we're still talking about your favorite TV dads of all time. If you've got a favorite TV dad, you can hit us up at 929 The Game. We're going to get to all of those coming up in our next segment as we head out now on the waitfor.com hotline and say good afternoon to Brad Rowland. Again, you can find Brad at Peachtree Hoops and check out his podcast. It's called Locked On Hawks. Brad, it was a great start last night, but they couldn't hang on. Give me your thoughts on what you saw from this Hawks team in Game 6.
Yeah, you mentioned there, obviously, it was a much better start, kind of the inverse of the last couple games where they started out hot and kind of cooled off from there. And really, it was an offensive loss for the Hawks, in my opinion. They did a very good job defensively in the game. All the numbers really were very good defensively. But in the end, aside from Trae Young, there just wasn't a whole lot happening offensively. And it sort of plagued them, especially in the fourth quarter.
What do you think Bogdanovich can give this team in Game 7? Any official word yet on Bogdanovich?
No official word yet. Nate McMillan talked to the media earlier today and basically downplayed, you know, not didn't really share a whole lot, as he's often going to do. He was sore today, as you might expect, and we'll see what the injury report says later on. I'd be shocked if he was ruled in or out today. The Hawks have been pretty cagey on releasing information, so it might go all up to tip off, honestly, and see how his knee responds. But it'd be a big loss if he's not able to play because they don't have much behind him.
What's the key, Brad, to winning Game 7 on the road in Philly?
I think really it's going to be shot-making, and that might seem very simple, but if you watch the game back, even the last few games, the Hawks just have not shot the ball incredibly well. You've had a guy or two get hot in every game, but on the whole, I think their shot quality has been better than their shot-making, and if that continues in Game 7, you're in trouble. But if you have a hot game and some positive regression, you could be much more alive in that spot because, again, defensively, they did a very good job in Game 6. That was not going to be a problem. And usually it's the offense that's the strength for the Hawks in Game 6. It was the defense. So fingers crossed, that the offense sort of regains its footing in Game 7. If that happens and the defense holds up, you're in pretty good shape.
Brad Rowland from Peachtree Hoops and the Locked On Hawks podcast. We're talking Hawks basketball prior to Game 7 coming up tomorrow night for the Hawks and the Sixers in Philly. Brad, are you surprised at Okongwu and kind of how he has emerged in these playoffs?
A little bit, just because he's a rookie and he got the late start. And normally your rotations kind of get trimmed in the playoffs, and I thought that might happen with Okongwu, but quite honestly, he's been playing himself into almost a bigger role with how much he's been effective. And especially the last few games, he's been outplaying Dwight Howard pretty much on a nightly basis on that backup center line. And I think showing a lot of the promise that the Hawks looked for in him, I think people kind of almost forgotten about, you know, how much of a lofty prospect that he was coming out of the draft. And because he wasn't placed in a huge role this season, but you've seen now, especially defensively, those flashes that he has and what the Hawks saw in him as a lottery pick. And I think, you know, given that he's been able to do that, it sort of allows you to be confident in him playing. It's still a small role, but putting him out there does not worry you as much as it might have a few games ago.
Who can he be as an offensive player, in your opinion?
I think he's still probably going to be a Yeah, I think it's still going to be kind of a small role offensively, at least for now. You know, all the Bam Adebayo comparisons that he got coming out of the draft, I think Bam is a sort of unique offensive player in terms of how much he handles the ball and lots of dribble handoffs, that kind of stuff. I think the first step for Okongwu is just being more assertive as a play finisher, in a pick-and-roll dive man, being confident and on that short roll with little passes and finishes around the rim. They think he's going to be able to shoot long-term at some point. Obviously, that's going to be a big question mark, because right now it's more of a weakness for him. But I think it really depends on how much he can grow on his with his skill set, basically, in the next year or two. Because defensively, he's kind of already showing what they wanted. And offensively, it's kind of always the grand question with centers, like, what can you do versus what can't you do? And at some point, you kind of have to just focus on what you can do, but maybe try to broaden things out in the meantime.
Brad Rowland from Peachtree Hoops and the Locked On Hawks podcast. We're talking Hawks and Sixers on the WadeFord.com hotline. Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Look, I can tell you what the consensus is of the people that I've talked to here, the consensus of the people that I hear from on Facebook. I want to ask you, has John Collins helped himself or hurt himself with his play in these playoffs?
It's interesting. I think it's kind of in the middle. I mean, if I had to choose one of those, I'd probably say hurt himself a little bit. He had two very, very good games in a row before last night, which probably helped to bolster things. He had that awesome second half where he kind of took the game over in a lot of ways on the offensive glass, helping the Hawks lead to a win. But it's really kind of the same, at least for me, the same questions and the same answers. You know, you kind of know what Collins can and can't do. He's a very, very productive player. He's been better defensively than he's been in years past this season. But also, offensively, he's not a guy that's going to be able to go out and get his own all the time. And I know when you're talking about the stratosphere that he'd like to be paid at, that's one of the big questions is, do you want to pay, you know, $25, $30 million a year for a guy who's not going to be able to create his own offense a ton all the time? And, you know, it's interesting. As soon as they got Capella, we kind of knew that Collins' role was going to be smaller. That happened this year pretty much across the board. So it's kind of been a reflection on the regular season. Like, he's still playing very well. He's still a positive player. But if I had to choose one of those two, I'd probably say his stars fall just a tad bit.
Yeah, that dunk over Embiid, though, last night, that was pretty awesome. That was pretty
yes,
awesome.
Yes, it was.
Look, I'm going to skip around here for a second. Let's go back to Bogey for a second. How much of his issues and his woes shooting the ball last night, how much of that was him having an off night maybe? How much of that do you think is directly related to the knee issue?
It could be both. Kevin Huerter, actually talking to the media after the game, mentioned that Bogey's been banged up the whole series, which the Hawks haven't said, but that would certainly help to explain it. He has been pretty cold by his standards. He had that, you know, as you know, that red hot stretch for about 2.5 months where he was, if not the best shooter in the world, number two to Steph Curry, perhaps. That's how good he was in that stretch. So there was probably some regression due along the way, but he doesn't look like the same guy physically, and maybe that explains it with the knee. So it's probably a combination of both things. He was due for a downturn, and also he didn't have his normal lift. I think you saw that at the free throw line where he missed two free throws in game six. That's just not a normal thing that's going to happen to him. So I think he's not 100%, obviously, even before he left the game. But he was also, you know, you kind of never know on the shot quality that he's been getting. He takes a lot of tough shots, so sometimes you're going to miss those, and that's just going to happen.
Brad Rowland from Peachtree Hoops and the Locked On Hawks podcast with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hawks and Sixers, Game 7 coming up tomorrow night from Philly. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I got two keys from last night, Brad, that in my opinion cost this team the win. They both came in the second half. We can talk about free throw shooting all we want, but there at the start of the fourth quarter when you had Okongwu go to the line, one trip down and miss two, and then I think it was Bogdanovich on the second, or Gallinari one, on the second trip down on consecutive possessions, also missed two free throws. I thought, look, that's 4 points in what was a five-point game. And then that start by the Sixers in the third quarter where they went on that 14-0 run, to me, those 2 points right there is where this game was lost last night. Give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, that makes some sense, especially, you know, this is a very strange game. The Hawks led the entire first half. Like, Philadelphia never led in the first half. And then they come out of the gate, they score 14 points in a row, and then the Hawks never led from there. So it was essentially one team in control for a half. The other team makes their run, and then they never trail the rest of the game. So you can certainly point to that 14-0 run as perhaps the biggest moment of the game, because, you know, it turned the game basically from the Hawks being ahead and comfortable to behind and not so comfortable. And the free throw shooting, definitely. I mean, throughout the entire game, you know, sometimes Capella's going to miss, McCollum's going to miss. It's going to happen. Those guys are not great free throw shooters. But Bogdanović, as you mentioned, missing those two. Trey missed two. Herter missed one. They just had, like, those are just points that you need to get. And in a game, especially that stretch that you mentioned, they were down two and then missed four in a row. And,
yeah,
you know, they never let. So if they had just made the free throws, they either would have been tied or potentially even up at that point in time. You don't want to overstate it, but it certainly was a factor in the game.
What happened last night in the fourth in that skirmish between John Collins and Joel Embiid? Can you add anything to that other than what we saw on the TV cameras last night?
Not really. I think those guys have just been going at each other the entire series. And, you know, when you see the same team over and over again, you get some animosity, perhaps. Joel Embiid referred to Trae Young as the point guard twice last night after the game. Just one of those things that happens in a playoff series. I think John is a fiery guy. And, you know, I'm glad it didn't go worse. I'm glad there were no ejections or anything that sort of spilled into the crowd, anything like that. But it was just one of those playoff skirmishes, and you know, I don't want to make too much of it. I will say, I thought Bruno Fernando left the bench, and if that happened, he might get suspended for Game 7. He's not going to play anyway, probably, but I wanted to make sure that was the only thing that I sort of noticed that wasn't talked about a lot, was that, oh, it's like Bruno, I think, left the bench, and you can't do that.
Being at home for a Game 7 means what for Philadelphia?
I think it means a lot. I mean, if you're trying to be positive about the Hawks, you saw in Game 5 that when Philadelphia started to sputter late, the crowd got tight, it felt like, and they were kind of like spooked and not wanting to, you know, be terribly enthused about matters. So that's kind of the positive side. But more broadly, home teams just have a massive advantage in Game 7. That's just kind of how it's always been. And Philadelphia has been arguably the team in the league, at least one of the teams in the league, that's been so much better at home over the last three or four seasons than they've been on the road. This iteration of this Sixers team has been so much better at home that it might even help them more. On the positive side, though, again, for the Hawks, they've now won twice in Philadelphia in this series. There's no fear there for the Hawks. So I think, obviously, it's better to be at home, but you know, those dynamics are definitely up in the air until the game actually starts.
Yeah, they won twice in Philly. They won twice at Madison Square Garden. I mean, I don't feel like this is a team that just because it's going to a Game 7 on the road that you necessarily have to, you know, feel like they can't pull it out. I think this thing is still something they can accomplish. Make me feel better about it, Brad. Give me some hope as a Hawks fan about what's going to happen in Game 7 tomorrow night.
I'm actually with you on this one. I think that the Hawks, if you're being objective, the Hawks are the underdog in the game. They have to go up there. Philadelphia's the number one seed. But I think it's very, very winnable for Atlanta. One thing that I said a couple times since last night was Philadelphia, for all of their success in Game 6, did not fix their offense. Their offense has been the problem, and they really did not score at a high level in Game 6. So that should give, I think, Hawks fans some optimism, because if the Hawks can find their own offense beyond Trae Young in Game 7, which I think is fairly likely because the Hawks are a pretty good offensive team overall this season, if they can clean that up a little bit, Philadelphia has still been scuffling, and if it's a close game late, the Hawks are set up to win that kind of game because they are the better offensive team, in my view, in this series. So, you know, broadly speaking, are the Hawks the team that I would pick to win if with no other caveat? Probably not, but they can certainly win. I think Hawks fans should feel pretty good, almost better than you might think, about having to go up there for Game 7.
Brad, appreciate it, man. Always great to catch up. We'll be talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, man. Brad Rowland, check him out, Peachtree Hoops, and also the Locked on Hawks podcast. Brad has been a great friend, and always enjoy getting a chance to talk a little Hawks basketball with him here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So we were asking for your thoughts on your favorite TV dads. We got a whole bunch more. Let me get through a couple of these here before we wrap up this segment. Val said Steve Douglas from My Three Sons and Ben Cartwright from Bonanza. Chris also went with Steve Douglas from My Three Sons. Joan went with Ward Cleaver from Leave It to Beaver. Also, Jamie said favorite TV dads, Morty Seinfeld and Frank Costanza from the show Seinfeld. Craig said my favorite TV dad was Michael Landon. on Little House on the Prairie. I'll be honest, as a kid, nothing could send me screaming, running out of the living room than when Little House on the Prairie came on. I absolutely hated, I know, it's awful, but I did. I absolutely hated that freaking show when I was a kid. Also, happy Atlanta sports fan on Twitter says Carl Winslow. That's another vote for Carl Winslow. T. Ferguson says Red Foreman. Archie Bunker. Davis said second thought. No, not Archie Bunker. All right, guys. Thanks for playing along as we talked about favorite TV dads. We'll continue to take your thoughts on it if you want to weigh in either at 929 The Game or at Crisco 4th 1. But if you're a Hawks fan, we need to hear from you. How are you feeling now with Game 7 tomorrow night in Philly? And what do the Hawks need to do to get a win? We want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. 404-749-0929. Crisco 4th on a Saturday. Let's talk Hawks. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.